He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and with his stripes we are healed. As fear and doubt come against your life, and has your faith been sorely tried? Just lift up your eyes, for here comes your help. Jesus, and for you he has died. So rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Just let faith arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. He will cleanse you and make you whole. And when by faith you just reach out and touch him, know that Jesus will hear your every plea, and that he will respond to that cry that's deep in your heart. He will cleanse you and he will make you whole. So arise in your soul. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus.
He will cleanse and make you whole. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Well, this program today is all about you can have a miracle today. You can have a miracle in your life. You can have a miracle in your life. There's nobody out there that cannot have a miracle in your life if you will turn to the source. You got to turn to the source, because the Lord Jesus is that source, and he is fully capable and fully ready to give a miracle in your life. I'm excited. I'm excited to bring you such a broadcast. I'm going to preach in the morning about divine healing, the miracles of God. I'm going to have a prayer line tomorrow for those who need a miracle. If you need a miracle, you can have it. You've got to hear me when I say that. If you need a miracle, you can have it. Miracles are available in the kingdom of God. Miracles are available in the true, the real kingdom of God. A church without miracles is not a New Testament church. It doesn't matter what all you claim, what all you have, what all you do. If there's no miracles in your church, you cannot claim to be a New Testament church. Read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. It's miracles from beginning to end, from beginning to get-go. I mean, it's miracles all the way. And that's the kingdom of God. That's what the church is all about. read of any great revival that's ever occurred in the church world, and there's always been associated with it supernatural miracles, marvelous healings, great events of power and demonstration. God making himself known to the generation that revival occurred in. And God is ready to make himself known again in our generation. I believe that with every bit of me, all of my being, I believe God is ready to start giving revivals to the church. Now, a lot of things I want to say today. Eventually, I'm going to take you to the three different kinds of miracles that God offers. We're going to talk about how Satan can steal a miracle from you. And we're going to end with the greatest of all miracles, the complete transformation of human lives from a sin life to a believer life. From the world of darkness to the world of light and glory. I mean, every bit of it is miracles, supernatural miracles. It is God's business. He does things that no one else can do. It is just natural for God to speak things into existence. He spoke the world into existence. Let there be light, and there was light. He put the sun in its orbit. He put the moon where it belongs. He put all the stars and all the great planets in the universe, in the great stratosphere. I mean, it's all his doing. Everything that you know and see around you, supernatural, beyond the natural, is God's doings. God is a supernatural God. We don't serve a little puny God sitting off somewhere feeling sorry for his world and just kind of weeping tears. We serve a God who sent his son, and his son came in such power that he breaks all the barriers, he pulls down the strongholds, and he gives miracles that are beyond human description. You got to hear me. Miracles are God's business. Let me say that over and over today. Miracles are God's business. Miracles are God's business. If you are where God is claimed to be and there's no miracles, God isn't there. God is a miracle-working God. Emotions that humans can create with their own fanfare are empty. They bring no supernatural miracles. The devil once in a while will give a paranormal miracle just to prove he's, or try to prove he's God, and they never last. All of the devil's miracles are just unbelievable. They don't last. They just put on a show. They're all nothing but just a grandiose kind of effort to send you the wrong direction. Now, in the book of Hebrews, Apostle Paul said something magnificent, something breathtaking, something wonderful. He said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. You want to read that? Hebrews 13 and 8. Hebrews 13 and 8. Go read it. I probably will before the program is over. But I want to really deal today with the fact that you can have a miracle in your life. You can have a miracle in your life. I put on Facebook this week a song that I fell in love with. It was sung at our teacher's prayer meeting on Monday, and it was sent for me. I'm here to tell you, excuse me, miracles are in the making. Miracles are in the making, and they are mighty. And they're being made right now. Now, the Bible, in the book of Jude, and I want to take you to that just a moment, and you'll understand why I'm doing that. You see, miracles have always been God's business, but today's church has lost them, ceases to see them, begging for them, wanting them, needing them, but they're not there. Now, the Bible says in Jude 3, that's only one chapter, but verse 3, brethren, when I give all diligence to write unto you, beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. Now, notice that word common, the common salvation. This is not something spectacular. This is not something out of the ordinary. This is something that is normal, common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. See, the church is without it even before the 100 years was over. After the first, I mean, in the middle of the first century, this was Jude writing, and the church was already losing it because they were being careless with their prayer time and being careless with their consecration, being careless in their sacrificial living, and miracles were disappearing. And all through the ages, people have cried out for those miracles. And on numerous occasions, God has responded with a faith, a moving of faith, that the church would once again have the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Now, that's the need of the hour, is the church crying out to God for the faith once delivered to the saints. I've got some people here with me praying. We're staying on our face on a 7:24 thing. Now, I don't mean every hour of the day, but every day. We're getting on our face somewhere between 1 and 3 hours. Somebody's in that sanctuary crying out to God, sometimes in the evening, sometimes in the morning, sometimes in the middle of the day, whenever they come, whenever I can get in there, away from my duties. We're crying out for the faith once delivered to the saints. And there's no doubt we're going to see miracles. I'm as sure as I'm sitting here, coming to you by radio, coming to you by internet, coming to you by Facebook, I'm as sure as I'm sitting here that revival miracles are coming. They have got to come because God never, never rejects the cries of his people. He said very carefully in one beautiful scripture, "Shall not the Lord avenge his elect that cry day and night unto him? Shall not the Lord avenge his elect that cry day and night unto him?" Now, I'm coming to you today to tell you, you can have a miracle in your life. I wish you'd share this with everybody on your Facebook. If you'll go over and click on that button, share, it'll go to hundreds maybe that you have on your list. Who knows how many we might reach. And we're going to have a prayer line at the ending of this program, about 10 or 2 here, that's Eastern Standard Time, be 10 to whatever, wherever you are. And we're going to believe God for miracles. We're going to believe God for cancer to disappear. We're going to believe God for whatever the need is, the demons that have possessed somebody. I believe God can cast them out right through this radio, internet, Facebook ministry. I believe God can do it, and I'm claiming it. I am claiming it without a doubt. I called someone this week that needs a mother that's never had a child. She's had some miscarriages, but never a child. They've talked about adopting. I don't know where their plans are right now, but I know what God told me to do. Call that mother and tell her God's going to give her a little boy, and it's going to happen. You hear me? I'm excited. I'm excited about the end results. I'm excited. I know God answers prayer, and I believe God can give fertility to a womb that has lost its fertility, either husband or wife. I believe God is able to work miracles beyond all human understanding, and I'm believing for them, and I'm going to have them. Are you listening to me? You say, Brother Chambers, don't be so sure. Well, I'm just believing God. That's all. It's not something I can do. It's not something inside of me. It's not something in my head. It ain't coming up. It's coming down. I don't believe miracles come up. They don't come out of me. They come out of him. Remember what Peter said in Acts 3? Don't look at us as though by our holiness this man has been healed. He said that the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, he's the one, and he is the one, and he's the one today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Are you hearing me? Are you ready to listen to me? Will you let God give you a miracle today? Will you let God make himself real to you today? Are you willing? Are you ready? Do you believe? Can you turn your need over to God and doubt him not? Our God wants his church. Our God wants his church back in the miracle business. Our God wants his church back in the miracle business. I'm telling you that, and I believe it with everything in me. God gave me the privilege of preaching out in Oklahoma on Wednesday night. And boy, did he anoint this old man. Woo! His unction was beautiful. His unction was wonderful. I am grateful to him. I give him all the glory. I'm here to tell you, I give him all the glory. Now, you heard me when I read from Jude, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, when he said, earnestly contending for the faith once delivered to the saints. And you heard me quote Jesus when he said, "Shall not the Lord avenge his elect that cry day and night unto him?" I am preaching to people. I've got preachers angry with me because I'm preaching about praying and getting on your face, getting in God's altar, getting in God's sanctuary early in the morning, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. You know the reason preachers can't come to prayer early? Because they stay up too late watching television, hanging out with somebody, you know, just spending their time in earthly things that have no real value. I'm bringing you the message that God is wanting to give his church a supernatural visitation. God is wanting to move among us in a way that's breathtaking. Let me read to you. This is an old familiar passage for me, Mark 16. He said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Did you hear me? These signs shall follow them that believe. You got to hear that. You got to hear that. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. You got somebody in your family possessed by a devil, bring them to visit us. Let them hear the gospel. They got to want to be free of that demon. Or it may be a child that is in mom and daddy's responsibility, and you may want them to be free from that power. But I'm telling you, the Lord is in the devil casting business. He casts them out. I've seen it so many times. I'll never forget one time in Santo Domingo. This was a miraculous moment. We was out in a village. The lights had gone out of that whole area because of the storm. There was one light up over our head. And it was a multitude of people everywhere because this was a place to bring the people who had nowhere to live. And they was in little stalls like all over the place. And we went out there to have a church service, and it was the toughest I've ever felt it. I mean, they sung, and they did all of this. I had my sermon prepared, and when I got up to preach, the Holy Ghost just took hold of me. I don't know what I'd planned to preach, but I didn't preach nothing I'd planned. I just started quoting the Bible and preaching what the Holy Ghost gave me, and that spirit was breaking. You could feel it breaking and breaking. And I charged the devil to get out of the way, to move out of the way, to get back in the name of Jesus, and we start seeing victory. And then I gave an invitation, and here come a woman. I mean, two men were dragging her, demon-possessed. And they were bringing her up in front of me, and I'm standing there thinking, wow, they haven't forced her to come. She needs to want to come. And the Holy Ghost said to me that she had no way to want to come. And they brought her and stood her in front of me. And I looked at her, and I said, say the name of Jesus. And she just, that upset her. And she began to act under demon powers, fell on the ground. And there was a man of God there that was our man there in Santo Domingo. He came up beside me, and we laid hands on that woman. And God set her free. I mean, it was so beautiful. The demons were gone, and she stood up, and then she began to say the name of Jesus, was wonderfully converted. Here came her husband, and he got converted, got saved, and I found out later she'd been demon-possessed, and she'd been marching all around the group of people that we were having. I couldn't see her. It was dark. One little light over our head. She'd been marching every which way, trying to bind us and keep us from having church and keep us from having victory. But God broke the power. Now, that's what the Bible said we can do. And we can do it if we are willing to pay the price to get there. The price is prayer and fasting and long hours of devotion before God, staying on our face, weeping and sobbing for a lost world, going to hell with no hope. And we get the burden and we start believing God for miracles. Well, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. Did you hear me? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. These are the tongues of the Holy Spirit. These are the language of the Holy Spirit. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. And these are God's words. And it's all through the Bible, not just Mark 16. You can find them everywhere. I love John. The things that Jesus said about this wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me take you and read a verse to you right here. Don't think I looked for this. Yeah, here it is, verse 12. Verily, verily, this is the book of John. This is chapter 14. Now listen to me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, 14 and 12, St. John, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, Jesus said that to his disciples. Very clear and very beautiful. Greater works than I do shall you do. Now, what did he do? He cast out devils. He opened blinded eyes. He made short arms lengthen to their normal. He opened deaf ears. He raised the dead. He said greater work. This is what we are contending for in this church. This is what the Bible said contend for. The faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Your church isn't into miracles, then you're in a church that is really not a New Testament church. It may be a good place. It may be a good feeling there. Some people may get saved there. Good things can happen. Sometimes in churches that are not really as far into the way of God as they ought to be. And thank God for what does happen. I'm not here to criticize it. I'm not putting nobody down. I'm here to tell you what we can have. That's all I'm doing. I'm here to tell you that God wants to deliver his power into his church again. And we are contending for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. That's what the Bible said. And I believe in doing it God's way. How about you? And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Everybody listening to me out there, get ready to ask God, ask the Father in the name of Jesus for the miracle that you need. For the miracle. Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. We pray to the Father in Jesus' name. I said, we pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And what do they do? They dispatch the Holy Ghost. See, the whole Trinity is involved in this. You pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and the Holy Spirit moves at their beckon, at their will, because there's perfect unity in the Trinity. Absolutely perfect unity in the Trinity. You can doubt it not. And whatsoever you shall ask in that my name, that will I do. Now notice why. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Hallelujah. That's so breathtakingly beautiful. God don't do it to glorify you. If you just want a reputation of some supernatural dude who's always a showcase, and you can do all kinds of things, you go ahead with that fleshly stuff, and somewhere along the road, you'll find out how helpless it is. But right now, I can tell you this Bible is a book of the supernatural. This Bible is a book of the supernatural, and you can have the supernatural in your life. And I'm declaring it unto you with everything inside of me. I want you to have the supernatural in your life. And I want you to have a miracle today. I want you to have it today. I'm looking for it tomorrow. I am really excited about preaching tomorrow. I'm going to preach on the God of miracles. The God of miracles. I'm going to talk to you about God and show you in the Bible that if God's anywhere around, he's performing the supernatural. If God is anywhere close, he's doing something supernatural. If God is anywhere in your midst, he's sending the Son to walk the aisles of your church. And they're doing, the Lord is doing, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost are doing the business of God. Our church wants his church back in the miracle business. Our God wants his church back in the miracle business. Our church wants God back in the miracle business. I want God back in the miracle business. And I don't want it just for Paul Creek. God help me to never have a selfish mind in me, a selfish bone in my body. I say to God, if there's a bone in me, if there's a cell in me, a selfish, rip it out. Whatever it takes, rip it out, God, so that we will want the church. We will want God's people anywhere, everywhere, in the jungles of Africa, in the big cities of Asia. throughout throughout this globe. We want a move of God. I want it in your town. I want it in Pakistan. I want it in those Arab countries. I want it in African countries. I want it in Russian cities. I want it everywhere. And I'm believing. Oh, I'm believing right now. Somebody's already getting healed. Hallelujah. You say, I believe God. Well, then believe him right now and claim your miracle. Claim your mighty miracle. God is in that business, and I'm going to be on that subject for the rest of my life. I'm going to be trying to bring revival. I'm going to be trying to bring a move of God. I'm going to be on my face in that sanctuary in there, seeking God for hours. I love it. You say, Brother Chambers, that's wonderful that you... No, it's a joy. It ain't just wonderful. It's a joy. When you get in the presence of God, and you start living extended time in the presence of God, it don't take you long to find out the most wonderful thing can ever happen in your life is for you to be in the presence of God. And it's joy unspeakable and full of glory and peace that passeth understanding. It's not a matter of sacrifice. I don't consider a moment I stand in God's presence sacrifice. I consider it the greatest joy ever. Woo! The greatest joy heaven ever gave me. The greatest joy heaven ever gave me. Now, let's go to the book of Luke 11:9. The book of Luke 11:9. I've got so much to do. I want a little bit, and you need to get everybody on the line for this. Now, listen to me. Here in a few minutes, I'm going to tell you the three kinds of ways that God heals. The three kinds of ways that God healed. I'm going to tell you all about each one of them. And then I'm going to tell you how Satan seeks to destroy and steal the miracle from you. It just upsets the devil to no end when God begins to work miracles. Because he's helpless. The devil is helpless. I declare to you right now that the devil is helpless. He cannot stop you from getting healed. He cannot stop your church from being full of the Holy Ghost. He can stop you from praying. But he can't stop your church from being full of the Holy Ghost when you fast and pray. We started last Monday, 5 days ago, a 24-hour fasting all the way to camp meeting, which is the last week of June. We don't quite have the calendar filled, but I'm praying tomorrow that God will give us a full calendar. Every meal, 21 meals in a week, 3 a day, and we're trying to get somebody fasting every one of those meals. And I got some people in this church that if somebody won't do their part, they'll do a double part. I really have. I've got people in this church that will fast 2 or 3 days the week if they have to, if somebody won't do it, if somebody else won't take their part. And we have people that won't take their part. Selfish, carnal people who haven't been sanctified will refuse anything that's a sacrifice. And they'll get all upset about it. I mean, I get amazed, but I'm an unstoppable kind of guy. And I believe when you get on something that's right and God's spoken, you just keep doing it. You know what God said to us? If we fill this church with prayer and praise, he'll fill it with people. Watch my word. You better come find you a place. You better come stack you out. How do I say it? You must come and get you a pew. It may not be any available for you in a few months when God begins to move in his power and glory. Brother Chambers, do you believe that? I wouldn't say it if I didn't. I mean, you see, when you stay on your face, God would have to be an unfaithful God if he didn't answer your prayers. If you get on your face and you have no selfish pursuit and you're not after something for your own flesh, you want God's glory. You want the Father to be glorified. You want the Father to be exalted. You want Jesus to be magnified. When that's all your dream. That's all you're thinking about is God being glorified and Christ being exalted. Then God can't help but answer because he loves you. He loves you. Oh, what a God we serve. You see, this old man sitting here was sick from the middle of December to the middle of March. 3 months I was sick. I was dying. I had people who already written my death warrant. I mean, I was on my way out, and they were sure of that. No doubt about it. But God turned it around at the right moment, and I knew that's what he would do. I knew he'd let me suffer. He'd prove my faith. He'd try to make sure I was really believing him and trusting him. And oh, so many people said, what's wrong with you? And I said, I don't know. They said, well, why don't you go find out? I said, I don't want to know. It's in God's hands. I'm just going to trust him. I'm just going to believe him. And would you believe what he did? Look at me. If I don't look like a healed man, I don't know what it would take to make me look like one. I really don't. God has healed me miraculously. He gets all the glory. I'm going to tell you right now, I didn't deserve nothing. I said, I didn't deserve nothing. No, sirree. Let me take you to the book of Luke, chapter 11. Let's go, if we might, to verse 9. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Did you hear what I said? And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Now, that's God talking to every one of us in the church, in the Christian faith. If we belong to Christ, He's talking to you. If you've been born again, He's talking to you. If you're a member of a Bible church, He's talking to you. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Oh, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Now notice that. For everyone that asketh. Notice that ask, E-T-H-A-S-K-E-T-H, asketh. That means they ask and keep on asking. That means they seek and keep on seeking. They knock and keep on knocking. Now, I want to read the whole verse. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You are not going to get nothing with your penny ante praying. You're not going to get nothing with your 15 minutes occasionally. You're not going to get nothing with a little short prayer, with no fasting and no devotion and no surrender and no abandonment of yourself. If you're going to get an answer, it's going to be because you asked it and you seek it and you knock it. Have you got that? Are you getting the words of God? He that seeketh, he that knocketh, he that asketh. Every case, it is a feeling of getting in the middle of it and staying there till the barriers pull down. See, you got to walk right into the devil's house and start pulling the strongholds down. You got to find them and pull them down. And you got to pull them and pull them, and the devil will fight back. The devil will come against you like a storm. He'll make you sick. He'll make you weary. He'll try to make you doubtful. He will do everything in his power to stop you, because he fears the result of men and women asking and seeking and knocking. He fears it, because he knows it is miraculous what will occur. For if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now listen, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Are you listening to me? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Notice he said the Holy Spirit. He isn't talking so much about the baptism. He's talking about you, a man of God, a woman of God, already probably filled with the Spirit, maybe, already consecrated to Christ. He says, now, if you start praying like I'm talking about praying, My result is going to be to pour the Holy Spirit on you, and the Holy Spirit is then going to start breaking barriers and pulling down strongholds and breaking resistance and convicting sinners and healing sick people. It's going to happen. It cannot fail. That is what the Holy Spirit does. And he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit the mighty results? When you talk about him giving the Holy Spirit, you're talking about a breaking in of hell's powers. You're talking about a force of glory. When you receive the Holy Ghost, God's power shall come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and unto the other parts of there. Didn't get one word out there. Hallelujah. God will pour the Holy Ghost on you, and you're going to be a powerhouse. You're going to be mighty. You may be a little lady. You may be a little man. You may be an old timer like me. You may be a godly woman who's lived it and lived it and lived it, and you just got to see it before you cross over to the other side. That's me. I got to see it before I cross over to the other side. I got to have a move of God that shakes the barriers. You have it in a resistance, Brother Chambers. You don't even want to know about it. I'm not even worried about it. It's all a mindless kind of thing that will vanish at the right moment, because you can't stop something God is doing. You can't stop something God is doing. A miraculous church is not a miraculous-less church, is not a Bible church. A miracle-less, notice that L-E-S-S, a miracle-less church is not a Bible church. You say, Brother Chambers, come on, you're messing me up. I'm trying to mess you up. I'm trying to straighten you out. I'm trying to help you, like me, get a hold of the real thing. I'm nobody. I'm just onto something that God's got a hold of me, and I am so out, I'm so excited, I can hardly stand it. And I know there's enemies out there. They say, we'll stop you. Just keep trying and watch God pull you down. Watch God stop you. Watch God put His hand of victory upon us. Now, I want to talk about kinds of miracles in healing. Kinds. And this really relates to everything. Kinds of miracles in healing. But it really relates to healing. There are instant miracles that God gives in a moment, and it's done and it's over. Then there are gradual miracles that God gives, and it happens over a little period of time. And then there are natural miracles. Did you know that God uses nature? How many of you know that God uses nature? I'm not talking about doctors now. I'm not against doctors or not for them. That's over on the sideline. I'm not going to deal with that. I'm just going to deal with natural, doing the natural things. Did you know that God spoke in the Bible, 2 Kings chapter 20? A man was God's man, and he got sick, and he fell on his face and cried out to God. And God said, I'll give you 15 more years. And then God told him what to do. God told him to take figs and make a pack out of the figs and put it on these boils that had come on his body. And they would draw the poison out of his body, and he would be healed. And God told him to do that. That's a natural miracle. That's a natural miracle. I remember a dear man that had a big one on his forehead, and I tried my best to get him to put a pack on that and draw that poison out, and he would not. You see, the natural miracles are as much God's business as supernatural miracles are God's business. Your body was made with a capacity to heal itself. What I need to do for my body to heal itself, do the natural things, the good things, the things that are right for your body. Let me tell you what God said to me 25 or 30 years ago. I was praying, crying out, because my body wasn't as well as it needed to be. My wife was diabetic, and I knew I had to live past her life, because I had to take care of her all the days of her life, because I loved her with everything in me. And I didn't want nobody else to have the responsibility of caring for them. So I cried out to God. And we know what God did. He said, you get up every morning and you drink 20 ounces of good hot water. Every morning, the first thing you put in your stomach is 20 ounces of good hot water. You put that water in there, and that hot water will immediately course its way through every cell of your body, and it will cleanse you. That hot water. See, you drink cold water in the morning, your body's got to heat it up. And the time your body heats it up, it's already lost its capacity to go through your system. But you drink water that is a little above the body temperature. Don't have to be hot, but it needs to be as hot as the spigot probably would give it off of your water heater. And you drink that every morning, and it will. You'll feel it. You'll feel it in the end of your fingers, kind of a little bit sweaty. Because the hot water is kind of heating up your whole body and sending that water through every cell of your body. And if that's not a miracle, I don't know where to find one. That's probably one of the big reasons I'm sitting here in front of you as healthy as a man my age could possibly be, 83. And you know, I'm my mind is as sharp as a tack. I don't get no glory for it. Don't think I'm bragging on nothing. I'm bragging on Jesus. I'm bragging on the Lord. So let's talk about that. Number one, instant miracles. Let me take you to Mark 5 and 2. Mark 5 and 2. I want you to see an instant miracle. And I know you can call. I'll take any call, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. Call quickly if you would. And remember, I'm preaching in the morning on a God of miracles. You must hear that sermon. When I finish preaching, we're going to have a prayer line. We're going to let people throughout this church in the morning, whoever's here, come through that line. And I'm going to have two or three men there, godly men who are prayer warriors. And we're going to lay hands on you, anoint you, as the Bible said, with oil. We're going to do it the Bible way. And we're going to believe God to give us miracles. You got a demon-possessed son, bring him. You got a daughter that's blind, bring her. You got a friend that's blind, bring them. You, whatever the need is, we'll pray. God don't always do the things you pray for the first time you pray, but you keep coming, and we'll keep praying, and we're going to keep having prayer lines, not every service probably, but as the Lord guides me and directs me, and we're going to believe God for miracles like we have never seen. We're going to believe God for miracles like we've never seen, and we want you to be one of those recipients of those miracles. Let me go to where I said. What did I say? Mark 5 and 2. Forgive me here. I'm human. I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own house, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. See, this is Jesus wanting an instant miracle. And you'll find those in healing of bodies. You'll find those in casting out of demons. You'll find those in many ways. So Jesus is about to have an instant miracle. His disciples ask him, where are we going to get the food? Well, there was a little boy there with 5 fishes and 3 loaves, or 5 loaves and 3 fishes, whichever it was, by the way. And he said unto them, how many loaves have we? And they told him. And he said, set them down, 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children. And they had a little boy's lunch. Listen now, all they had was a little boy's lunch. Everybody else had come from afar. The disciples, they'd been out there with Jesus for some hours probably. It was a hungry crowd. I mean, it was a hungry crowd. 5,000 men, not counting the children, not counting the wives. Probably 15,000 would be an estimate, maybe 10, but 15 at least, maybe even 20. Because back then they had a lot more children than people have today. And I'm telling you, they was all there. Jesus took this little boy's lunch. Little boy's lunch. Let me make sure how much it was, because I need to say that. It slips your mind. How many loaves have we? They said 7. 7 loaves. How many fish have we? And he took the loaves. I don't read how many fish it was. What does it matter? But a little boy carried it, so it couldn't be much. And probably a little bit of small menace, something like that. And Jesus said, have them all sit down. He prayed. They fed the whole multitude and took up 12 baskets full. Instantly, a miracle of heavenly proportion. Can he do it today? Do you believe he can? Of course he can. He do anything that is needed to be done. He don't do things for show. He does things for needs. He does things because people are hurting. He does things because somebody's in trouble. He does things because he cares about you. Manifold blessings. He'll crown you with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's him. That's God. Crowning you with loving kindness and tender mercies. And that's in the book of Psalms 105, verse 4. I'm sorry, 103, verse 4. So God does instant miracles. Now, God does gradual miracles. Sometimes he heals you, and it begins to amend. That was me. I started getting well about the somewhere close to the first week, second week of March. And by the end of March, I was like a new man. It was over 2 or 3 weeks that I got well. I remember people asking me, and I'd hold up my fingers. I said, I'm about that far from being complete. I'm about that far. I don't remember the different stages, but I could measure it on my fingers, and I would say it's happening. Oh, I'm being healed. It's happening. I said that over and over. Faith was working. I was hanging on. I was believing. I was doing what God told me to do, and now it was his time to do what God says he's going to do, because God's always going to show up in time. Now, you've got the instant miracles, and then you got the gradual ones. Let's go to St. John 4. I want to read you this, because I want you to see it. St. John 4, St. John 4. The Bible is always the way we go. We don't decide things ourselves. We let God decide things for us. So we go to John chapter 4, and we go to verse 46. Verse 46. Now, listen to this. So, Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. There at Canaan, and there at Capernaum, and the man's son was in Cana of Galilee. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea, into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you believe, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Except you see them, you will not believe. That's the trouble of many of you. If you can't see them, you won't believe. I've never seen God heal someone like I was. I've never seen it. I was hurting all over from my neck down to the bottom of my colon, not swelling up, big old things happening, all kinds of little things taking place, hurting every which way. I mean, it was overwhelming. I was as sick as a dog, I might say. I think I had grieved myself to death for my Juanita. I really do. I grieved and grieved and grieved. But I know one thing. I knew he was going to heal me. And when he heard that Jesus was come, then said he, Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. And the nobleman said to him, sir, come down, lest my son die. I mean, that was a statement of faith. Lord, come down, lest my son die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed in the words that Jesus had said, had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Now listen, and as he was going, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. The hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. Isn't that beautiful? So yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. He began to amend. Now sometimes God does it miraculously, instantly. But sometimes he starts the process and you have to keep on believing. If you doubt at any point in that process, it's over and you're back like you were. So you got to believe. You got to understand he heals instantly, then he heals gradually, and then he heals naturally. Now, I want to take you to 2 Kings. I love this story. It got a hold of me this morning, and I knew I had to go find it. Let me see if I can find King. Did I not mark the place? I should have, but apparently I didn't. But I will find it. I promise you, God's word is wonderful. Did you know that God's word is wonderful? I'm in 2 Kings, 1 Kings. Now let me find 2 Kings 20 and 6. 2 Kings 20 and 6. You find it in your Bible with me, okay? 2 Kings 20 and 6. I should have marked this. Please forgive me. I had a lot to do this morning, and I just didn't get it all done. 2 Kings 20, 6 and 7. 2 Kings 20, 6 and 7. Here we are, and now we read. And listen, and I will add unto thee, unto thy days, 15 years. God talking to Hezekiah. I will add unto thee 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hands of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for mine own sake and for the sake of my servant David. And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, take thee a lump of figs. And they took and